From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. At least four people have died and two others been injured in Iran when police fired on crowds in Tehran. It's the second day of clashes during a major Shiite religious festival. Dale Gavlak reports.
Opposition websites, witnesses, and Twitter feeds say security forces shot at anti-government protesters near College Bridge as police helicopters circled overhead and smoke billowed into the sky. They said one of the victims was an elderly man who was shot in the head. Angry protesters threw stones at security forces and set dozens of their motorbikes on fire. Protesters were also beaten as they chanted "death to the dictator," a reference to hardline President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Fierce clashes between security forces and opposition supporters were also reported in Isfahan and Najafabad in central Iran. The reports could not be independently verified because Iran has banned foreign media from directly reporting on the protests. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Amman.
A Nigerian man has been charged with trying to blow up an international jetliner preparing to land in Detroit. Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab was charged by a federal judge who went to his hospital room. Abdulmutallab burned himself in the foiled attack. He claims he was given orders by al-Qaeda leaders in Yemen. U.S. authorities are trying to learn what parts of his story are true. There have been instant changes in airline security. Passengers headed for the United States are banned from leaving their seats an hour before landing, and they can't reach for their carry-on luggage. More is being learned about Abdulmutallab's British connection. Larry Miller reports from London.
After graduating from the high-ranking University College London in 2008 with an engineering degree, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab attempted to re-enter Britain in May, but his visa request was refused because he was applying to a bogus college. A government official said it was not considered a genuine educational establishment. Such places are often used by foreigners posing as students as a ruse to enter the UK. Since the suspect was identified, Scotland Yard police have been searching at least two central London apartments. They're said to be worth around $5 million and are linked to Mutallab and his family. His father, a former Nigerian government minister, recently resigned as chairman of the First Bank of Nigeria. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Although a massive winter storm has passed through the Midwest, it is now causing new problems, flooding. The National Weather Service has issued flood warnings for several states and got a lot of snow over the past few days. The melting snow is running off and rain is predicted in several areas. There are still winter weather advisories posted in Nebraska, North and South Dakota, and in Michigan. It's estimated that at least 20 people were killed in travel accidents related to the weather over the past week. You're listening to NPR News. Dennis Brutus, South African poet and anti-apartheid activist who served time with Nelson Mandela, has died of prostate cancer at the age of 85. NPR's Charlene Hunter-Gault reports.
Dennis Brutus fought South Africa's white minority regime with words and deeds, causing him to be banned from the country in 1961. He left but was deported back and nearly killed by South African police as he attempted to escape. He was published while on Robben Island, including his poem Somehow We Survive and the book Sirens, Knuckles, and Boots. His activism caused the white-led minority regime to be banned from international sports competition for 30 years. Released from Robben Island, Brutus went to the United States, where President Ronald Reagan tried to have him deported, but he was unsuccessful, and Brutus remained teaching at various universities, including Northwestern and the University of Pittsburgh. His latest campaign involved criticizing South Africa for not being tough enough at the Copenhagen climate talks. Charlene Hunter-Gault, NPR News, Johannesburg.
Friends of an American missionary say they haven't heard from him since he crossed into North Korea. Christian missionary Robert Park walked from China into North Korea on Christmas Day. He's apparently carrying a letter to North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, calling on him to close his country's notorious political prisons. The U.S. Embassy in Beijing says it's aware of Park, but there has been no public word of his fate. A beef company is recalling nearly a quarter million pounds of beef products. National Steak and Poultry says the voluntary recall to avoid E. coli is effective in six states: Iowa, Colorado, Kansas, South Dakota, Michigan, and Washington State. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.